I stood before the cross, and the King stood by me, and on the other side a vagabond. And there, as we prayed and poured our hearts out to Jesus, He meant to hear and reward. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I. I can call on Jesus' name, and the King can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No matter who you are, whether rich or a beggar, the call is sent to whosoever will. And if you'll just kneel and tell the Lord that you need Him, your thirsty soul He will fill. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I can call on Jesus' name, and the King can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate so much the opportunity to be here. Pastor Holloway allowing us to come, and the Goff family making us at home. My wife, she really fell at home. Found another lady that sews. Sometimes we carry a sewing machine with us. She loves to sew and do craft. I call her my crafty lady. But anyway, it's just a blessing to be here. I gotta get used to this this pulpit. So thank you so much for allowing us to be here, Pastor. And it's just a blessing to be here. And I just want to do a brief introduction and kind of show you where we are as far as our ministry. Perhaps we'll go to a couple of scriptures here, because unless we have a scriptural foundation for what we do, we have no foundation. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It talks about the anchor of the hope. It's only found one place in the Bible, and that's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Jesus Christ is the anchor of the soul. I'm so thankful that He's my anchor. And this world, in the midst of, you know, rain, floods, all kind of economic things, the world is looking for an anchor. And Jesus Christ is that anchor. And we want to point people to the anchor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of people in prison, they need an anchor. And Jesus Christ is the anchor. And people with addictions, they need an anchor. And Jesus Christ can be that anchor. And look over to one other scripture, Jude 22, right over before Revelation, Jude 22. And though some have compassion, making a difference. Some have compassion, making a difference. Jesus Christ wants us to have compassion on others. Sometimes we don't want to love the unlovely. We don't understand them. Perhaps we've not walked in their shoes. But God had compassion on me. I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. My dad was a deacon, but still growing up in a Christian home, Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Religious and Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. You still got to be born again. And I still had to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and get saved and born again. And I'm so glad God had compassion on my soul, allowed me to get saved. But God wants us to make a difference. And so God's kind of given us an unusual path of where he's led us. We worked for 6 years in Missouri, working with troubled teenagers. We worked for 6 years with 150 different teenagers. A lot of them came from gangs. Some of them came with drugs. They were all boys. It was a boys' school. But it's wonderful to see God change their lives. And many times their parents got saved, and relatives got saved, and a lot of folks got saved. And then God called us into the prison ministry. And we worked in the prison ministry for 5 years in the States, in Missouri, in Oklahoma, and then in Florida. And then God brought us back to Canada, because my goal was to come back to Canada and see God work here. And so God opened a prison in Ontario, and that's a story in itself, because I thought they'd be just, you know, with open arms wanting me to come back, and, you know, because I was Canadian, but they didn't have open arms. And one guy, he let me in this men's prison, and then he wouldn't give me any time to preach. But you know, God's smarter than people are. And he can deal with those things. And he took the chaplain out of there and put a converted Jew in there. And we trained another guy for prison ministry, and God put him in there. He was closer to that prison anyway than I was. So there's a prison ministry going on in that federal prison, just north of Barrie. And though God opened a door there for us, he didn't open us the door to speak. So God put somebody else in there after he changed the chaplain to a converted man. And chaplains are just in there by contract in Canada. And whether it be provincial or federal, they're in there under contract to denomination, between the denomination and the provincial government and the federal government. So that doesn't mean they're safe. They're in there for religious purposes, but they may have no knowledge of the Lord. But they need the Lord Jesus Christ if they're not saved. So God opened the door into the prison in Milton. And we worked in the prison in Milton for almost 5 years. And did a Bible study there. And seen, it was a ladies' facility, so I worked with my wife. And we have two daughters that still live at home and busy. But so we seen God work in a mighty way in that prison facility, but then we began to pray and seek God's face, because the chaplain said, well, I want something in here that's a faith-based thing that centers on Christ, that's an addiction program. So we looked. We had already been looking at several places, but God brought us to Reformers Unanimous. If you want to check out the website, it's reform, reformu.com. It's out of North Love Baptist Church in Rockford, Illinois. It's the largest faith-based addiction program and the fastest growing one in the United States and in many countries in the world. And so we brought, we put some material together and brought it to the chaplain, and they allowed us to bring that into the prison in Milton, Ontario. So for 2 years we've operated a faith, besides the Bible study, we operated a faith-based addiction program right inside the prison. I don't know what the statistics are in Saskatchewan, but in Ontario, 75% of all crime, at least 75% of all crime, is caused by people with addictions. And a lot of people with a lot of people that are in prison get out of prison, get in trouble, and they end up back in prison. And doesn't matter whether we're in Ontario, Saskatchewan, or wherever we are, that same thing's happened. So our desire is not only to see people saved, but see them discipled and grow in the Lord so they walk in victory, so they don't end up back in prison. So that is what we're seeking to do. Our goal is actually threefold as we come to Prince Albert. Number one was to see the church have an addiction program. And so the church has a program where we reach out on Friday nights. If you go on that website, reformu.com, you'll see there's all kinds of churches across the United States and some in Canada. There's not as many in Canada. It's growing slow in Canada. But in the States we have, you know, there's between 10 and 14,000 independent Baptist churches in the United States too. And in Canada there's like 250, 300 churches, independent Baptist churches in it. So there's a lot of difference in the number of churches too. So that's why there's not as many churches seeking to reach out to people with addictions. I believe it's a mission field. So what we've done is we've rented some space. The 1st of July, we rented us some space downtown, right across from the AMW, if you know Prince Albert at all, right across from the AMW. That's where a lot of people walk through with the drugs. That's where the prostitutes go. And we've rented some space there, and on Friday nights, we're going to start having a reaching out to people with addictions there on Friday nights. And a lot of times, what some churches do is they'll have the program in their church, and you come down to their church. But Pastor Webster wanted to do it down on the street, and that's fine. It'll work whatever place. We just have to adjust a little bit to doing that. And then, so that's the first thing. We are in the process of that. We already have material. So just pray for our church as we go take the people through training this week, this next couple of weeks, so we can prepare people. We have 15 hours of DVDs we just got from Reformers Unanimous in Rockford. So to do the training, my wife and I and my daughters have been through numerous, a lot of different training for it. And then the second thing is to go into the prisons. There's a men's prison, a provincial men's prison, there's a women's prison, and there's a federal prison in Prince Albert. And there's another, there's a juvenile detention center there too, but there's also one in Battleford. So they already have a men's prison ministry and women's prison ministry going on in their church. So what we want to do is take the prison ministry to another level. Because it's wonderful to see people saved, but we want people see people grow in the Lord to the point where they don't end up back in prison. See, Jesus said He'd come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. And I'm convinced when people discover Jesus Christ and then discover abundant life, they don't need addictions. They don't need the drugs. They don't need the gambling. They don't need the pornography. They don't need those things. Because Jesus Christ can set them free. And so so that's the second thing we want to do. And I met with the chaplain this week, actually, in the men's prison. And so to see if we can find a place, find a time slot in their schedule when we can do a faith-based addiction program in the men's prison. And then the third thing we want to do is open a ladies' home where we can help ladies that are coming out of prisons for 6 to 8 months. Sometimes people say, well, why so long? Well, a lot of people, when they're in prison, or if they have addiction problems, it takes time for them to get straightened out. Crystal meth, it's estimated a lot of times with crystal meth, it takes 6 to 8 weeks for people to clear their brain of crystal meth. Sometimes we have guys come to Stockton, Missouri, where we had where we dealt with troubled teenagers, and sometimes it would be a week or so before they even knew where they were. Why? Because they were on some kind of drug. And the withdrawal on that, it just took them a while to figure out where they are. And there's a whole lot of programs out there, and we're not trying to compete against the programs. We just want to offer the gospel. Because we're not in competition with somebody else. We're just offering the gospel and seeing Christ work and Christ change people's lives. And a lot of programs out there are behavior modification. So they modify people's behavior, go from one behavior to another behavior. One addiction to another addiction. But Jesus Christ wants to change people from the inside out. And that's a wonderful thing to see God do that in a mighty way in people's lives. So, it says, some having compassion, making a difference. I'm so glad God had compassion on my soul. Allow me to be saved. But He wants us to have compassion on others. He wants us to have compassion with people in the prison. Keep people round about. So that's what we're seeking to do. With the ladies thing, what our prayer and our goal is that God would give us a piece of property, work at where we have a piece of property, where we can have like a small farm type thing and teach people skills, some life skills, and so that when they get out, then they're able to function on a better and not end up back in prison again. And there is a, if you go on the website, you'll see that in in Rockford, Illinois, they have a men's home and they have a ladies' home. And actually, there's other homes scattered across the United States. But if you come, many Canadians, they get in trouble with the law. They can't go down the States and get help because they're going to get stopped at the border and kicked back. And many of them don't have the finances to go down to the States. So we want to be a help to people. So that's our long-term goal. So just pray for us as we seek to do this, because this is not a... It's kind of like Brother Webster says, you know, you want to go down and meet the devil face to face. See, if you look at this, if you study the life of Jesus Christ, you find he was condemned because he spent time with sinners. Now, he didn't become like them, but he spent time with sinners, and they condemned him because he spent time with sinners. And really, we look at it, you know, the Bible says we're all sinners, but God wants to work in a mighty way. Right now, we're working with a guy, and it's kind of funny, because I thought, well, we're coming here, and I knew what God's going to do, but God's already sent me a guy to be a help. This guy is, I don't know, what, two or three times me. He's a great big guy. This guy just got out of prison. And this chaplain contacted a, in the States, contacted this evangelist, and this evangelist knows us, so he contacted me, because this guy was Canadian, serving in the States, and of course his visa ran out, so they got to kick back to the States, or kick back to Canada whenever prison runs out. Prison time runs out. So his prison time ran out, and we didn't know when he can't come, because with immigration you never know if it's going to be 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is. Whenever they find the right flight and get the right stuff, and then it's going. And so they sent him to Toronto. And so Pastor Webster was way up north, and he got a phone call because he had to get from Toronto to Prince Albert. So. Anyway, but pray for him. God's working in his life. We've already started work with him and with the Reformers Unanimous and teaching him things. Somehow in the process of him coming here, he's lost all his ID. It was supposed to come through in the mail, and it's just disappeared. So all of a sudden you're trying to establish your ID again. When you've been gone, when you've been in prison, there's all kinds of complications. But anyway, God's teaching him some things, there's no doubt about that. But he said he's going to be my bodyguard when we work down on the downtown. So I said, the thing is, we don't try to intimidate people into get saved. Because he's a great big guy. So, and he's, I don't know, 6 foot something, I'm not sure what he is, but he's a tall guy. But he's been a blessing, and God's really working in his life. But this chaplain's worked with him for 6 years in the States, so he really got saved. But just pray for him as he, you know, tries to get his life back together, and put his life back together, and of course get a job, and, you know, begin to work. And he's really excited about what God's put him, because he believes God's put him there for a reason. So he has some experience. He used to drive a motorcycle years ago, being a motorcycle gang. So, and we're probably going to deal with some people like that. Because whether you know it or not, you probably should know if you've read any news at all, that to a great extent in Canada, the drug industry, the illegal drug industry, is controlled by the Hells Angels and motorcycle gangs across Canada. That's just the way it is. And so, no doubt we will run into somebody when somebody gets saved and all of a sudden they don't want the drugs, or some prostitute gets saved and all of a sudden they don't want to do prostitution. So, we're gonna be in some battles, so we need your prayer. And the church needs your prayer. It's not just me neither. I'm so glad that God's working with a bunch of us to do this to His honor and to His glory. So let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. And read that verse and we'll start there. Sometimes I struggle when I come to church and I say, Lord, what do you have for me to to say here. Because there's needs all around. God's shown us a lot of things. I don't know it all, that's for sure. But I know Jesus is the answer. I know He can set people free, because I've seen it. He set me free. He set drug addicts, He set drug dealers, He set all kinds of people free. And we've worked with some. But so let's read this verse, because to me this is the key. It says, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world. God loves the prisoner. The pastor read the scripture in Psalm 102. I've preached from that scripture before. He hears the prayer of the despised. Some folks, they're in prison, they feel like nobody cares. We want to tell them, hey, Jesus cares. Jesus doesn't love our sin, but He loves the sinner. He wants to save the sinner. So we'll reach out to Him. And a lot of folks, we can't help everybody, because some folks, they don't want help. They don't want Jesus. But praise the Lord, some do. Some of them, they just don't know how to get free. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Well, He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved the world. He so loved the drunkard. He so loved the prostitute. He so loved the murderer. He so loved the religious man. He so loved the pornographer. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes. Oh, I'm so glad it says whosoever. Doesn't say I had to have a whole lot of money. Doesn't say I had to be perfect. It says whosoever believeth. What's that mean? Believe in God? No, that doesn't make you a Christian. We have some people in prison, they say, oh, I believe in God. That doesn't make you a Christian, because the devil believes in God. And he's not a Christian, that's for sure. That's to put your faith and your trust. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Oh, praise God, I don't have to go to hell. But have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, dear Lord, I thank You this morning for these folks. Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I pray You might use me to Your honor and to Your glory. Lord, You know these folks. You know their community. I've not sat down and looked. Lord, I know I can look at a newspaper, one or two newspapers, or talk with some folks here, and very quickly find out what, Lord, there's addictions all around. Because I've learned that traveling across the country, Lord. There's a lot of folks in bondage. But Lord, You want to set people free. So Lord, I pray this morning, as we look at Your word briefly, Lord, that You illuminate our hearts. We can see that God wants to work in and through us. Lord, first of all, He wants to set us free, but not only that, He wants us to have compassion on others, seeking to make a difference. Lord, just work in a mighty way. I pray Your blessed Holy Spirit guide and lead. Let me say what You want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we came out here, we were packing and trying to get ready. We were planning on moving, and kind of our move went out of our control, in that this guy said, well, he'd move us, but he was bringing a cargo trailer from one kind of side of the country to out west. So I thought, well, I guess we got to go with him if he's going at a certain time. So anyway, so we kind of decided, okay, we'll move that way. But anyway, God changed that. But in the process, we're trying to pack, we're trying to get everything boxed up and figure out what we're bringing with us and what we're leaving behind. We left a lot of stuff behind, and that's fine. But anyway, in the process, I get this email from a pastor. He says, Brother Crossman, I need your help. I got this guy in our church, and he's got an addiction problem, and he needs your help. So I said, Pastor, do you realize we're trying to move? He said, no, I didn't know that. And I said, well, that's okay. We're going to try and meet him anyway. So I went and sat down with the fellow, and then met his girlfriend. And the sad thing is, these people get addicted to a drug, sometimes to prescription drugs, and they're trying to figure out how to get free. But the great thing is the Lord can set them free. And sometimes people wonder how it works, but it kind of works like this. Whether it's prescription drug, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's booze, it's that thing becomes a small G-O-D. And so they bow down to that. They pour money into that. They do everything they can for that thing. And in the process, that thing destroys their life, destroys their family, destroys their health. It was destroying this man's life. That's wonderful to be able to help people. And see them catch a hold of the thing that Jesus Christ wants to help, and He wants to walk with them. Let's turn over to a couple of scriptures here. John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. If there's one verse other than John 3:16 I've preached more in prison, it's this verse. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, and see, some people want to argue about this, but Jesus said unto them, so if they're going to argue with somebody, they've got to argue with Jesus. Because what did He say? He says, I am the way. Because what does the world say? What does society say? There are many ways. Now, Jesus said, I am the way. What did He say? I am the truth. A lot of confusion today about truth. A lot of people don't know what truth is. Jesus says He's the truth and the life. See, that's what some people are trying to find out. They're trying to figure out, why am I on this earth? How do I have life? And they want to say, no man, no woman, no child cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way. He's the way to life. John 8. Turn over to John 8. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth. Well, let's back up to verse 31. Then said Jesus to His disciples which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then ye are the disciples indeed. So how do you know the truth? By continuing the word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. I remember I was dealing with a lady, and she was burdened about her son. And she emailed me. She said, Brother Crossman, he needs help. And I said, the best thing you can do is pray. Because you can't change somebody. This guy is 23 years old. Unless they want help, you can't help them. And so he came to the end of himself. He lost his job. And that's what I pray, folks. And you might say, well, why do you pray that? Because I pray that God might bring people to the end of self. As we think of this downtown we're going to open in Prince Albert in the next couple of weeks. I'm praying that God would bring many of those people on the street to the end of himself. What happened to the prodigal son? He came to the end of himself. Because if people have not come to the end of self, I can't help them. We had a guy get out of prison just the other day. He was in one church service, but he's gone. Now, I haven't dealt much with that guy, but I know some of the other men in the church had. But he's gone. He never come back, you know. And what happened? He's not come to the end of himself. He got some Bible in there. He might even got saved. The devil's got him. The devil's got some strongholds in his life. But anyway, I'm dealing with this lady, and she said, "Hey, he's come to the end of himself. He needs help." So we met together, and there was a church having a pastor's conference. So we went there, and the pastor said, "Brother Crossman, I'll let you use my office." So this guy showed up at 2 o'clock. I said, I'll meet you at 2 o'clock. So he showed up at the office, and I took him into the office and began to talk to him. And first of all, I asked him, I said, are you saved? He said, yeah, I made a professional advice, but there's really been no change. I got a question about that. Somebody tells me they're saved, but there's never been any change. I grew up in a Christian home, but even getting saved, there's even a change in a Christian. When you're growing up in a Christian home, there's a change when you become a Christian. And so when somebody says there's no change, then I got to question if they're really saved. So I said to him, I said, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. I said, I think you need to get saved. So he asked the Lord into his heart right there. And so he went back to see his mother, and I found another preacher there that was close to where he lived, and I said, you know, you need to make yourself accountable to this pastor. And so several weeks passed, and I think about 3 or 4 weeks, and I talked to the pastor, and he said, Brother Crossman, I'm meeting with him every Sunday morning, and God has taken away his desire for OxyContin. See, people with addictions, it used to be, when you think about addictions, people would think that it's the drunkard and it's the drug addict. But the sad thing is people have a car accident. People have an injury. And a doctor puts them on OxyContin or something like that. And all of a sudden they become addicted. Sometimes they're a nurse. Sometimes they're a doctor. Sometimes they're a professional person. So we're trying to deal with addiction to prescription medicine. See, in the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, in North America, addiction to prescription medicines has become greater than addiction to illegal medicines. Now, God's given us special, I believe God's done something God's doing something special in Prince Albert. You know, I don't think it's because of me, it's just because of Him and His grace and His mercy and God's answering prayer. Because God's given, we have 2 doctors in our church. We have another doctor, Lord willing, that's coming to our church that wants to deal with people with addictions. Because I can't tell you, go off on medication. I'm not a doctor. I've got to be careful what I say when you're dealing with prescription medicine. But a doctor can tell you. And let me help you understand that. Besides doing prison ministry and seeking to help people with addictions, we did some prison ministry conferences. And we've had 2-day conferences, and we've had them in almost every province in Canada. I guess not every province, but a lot of the provinces in Canada. First year we had 3, I think, and 4 one year, and 2 last year. We just had 1. But last year we had one in Edmonton, Alberta. We brought in Dr. George Crabb, and Dr. George Crabb is a medical advisor. He's a medical doctor that advises Reformers Unanimous. He's an expert in addiction medicine. So he spoke for 2 days, and he spoke on addictions. He spoke on pornography. He spoke on depression. He spoke on recovery without relapse. He spoke on prescription medicine. So he spoke on a number of things for two days. In the process, God did an amazing thing. I'm still just realizing all the things he did. But number one, he burdened a couple that works with us in the ministry. They live in Ontario and in Alberta to be a help to us to see this ministry go forward and to allow God to work and to put these things in. Because we said, Lord, we don't have money to do all this. But God's bringing people together. Not only that, God took a doctor from Saskatchewan to that conference. And God's burdened that doctor to say that, hey, God has a plan, and God's plan is better than what being done in Canada. There's a better plan. God has a plan. He has a way of setting people free. And that's what these verses talk to. John 8:2, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who makes free? Jesus Christ makes free. John 8:36, what does it say? If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So Jesus Christ wants to make people free. Not only that, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So God used that meeting to burden a bunch of people to see, hey, God can work and God can set people free. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Oh, hold on. Let me start at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's what we're seeking to do. Pulling down strongholds. Strongholds. Pornography has a stronghold. Gambling has a stronghold. Money has a stronghold. Different things have strongholds in people's lives. The devil wants to have strongholds in Christians' lives. But it says casting down imaginations. Imaginations. There's a big thing going on right now. We watch this. You don't have to look at the Bible to see these things. Not, you can see them everywhere. But we found this DVD in the library on addiction to video games. And how it talked about addiction to video games. And this one guy in Ontario, was he 14 years old? 12 years old. 12 years old. Got addiction to video games. And that video game thing became his life. And it's just like professional sports. They can rise up within that video game thing. And they can make all kinds of money. There's people who travel in Canada because they're so good in video games. They travel professionally just like a sports person. But anyway, this 12-year-old boy, he got addicted to these games. And so he started skipping school. So his dad took his game away. So he ran away from home. They found him 3 weeks later. He's dead. This guy in China. In China, they have these motels where you can go in and you can play these video games. He played 54 hours straight. Because there's a lot when, because a lot of it is interactive. They play with other people. So there's pressure to not stop for a meal, not stop for sleep, and not stop for anything. He played 54 hours straight and died. So there's all kinds of things as far as the devil would bring people down and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself and bringing itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's go back to John or Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 is the story of the cross. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died on the cross for all sin. That's John chapter 3, verse 16. And on the cross, you see two pictures. Because there were three crosses. This picture of Jesus Christ, and you see him. But also you see the man that rejected Jesus Christ. He was in trouble. But he rejected Jesus Christ. He didn't want salvation. And he went to hell. But you also see the man that realized he was wrong. In verse 40, it says, "Another answered him, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise." I remember a man I was working with several times. I worked with him. He was an alcoholic, and he lived in, had grown up in New Brunswick. And the preacher would call me and said, "Brother Crossman, can you go see this guy?" Went to see him one time, and he was in a restaurant, and he didn't want to talk to me at all. And second time I went to see him, he was in a mental health CMHC, Canadian Mental Health Unit in Toronto. And so the social worker was talking to him, and we're about ready to release him. So I was coming in, so they were all excited about that, because they thought, well, we can dump him off on this preacher. You know, but he was telling the social worker, he was cursing up a storm. He says, "I don't want to see any blank preacher." And I had this other guy with me, and he said, "Brother Crossman, I'll stay back." But anyway, So anyway, I said, went to talk to him. I said, you know, there's folks concerned about you and we want to talk to you and pray with you. No, I didn't mean nothing. Just really hard to the gospel. But I prayed with him anyway. And he's just really hardened, but you know what? He ended up in the hospital in Western Ontario. And 2 weeks before he died, he got saved. But I thought, what a tragedy. You get saved, but the sad thing is your body is totally destroyed by cirrhosis of the liver because of booze. The wonderful thing is he's going to heaven. But the sad thing is the booze destroyed him. He got saved, just been on his deathbed, just like this man got saved on the cross. He got saved. So what does Jesus say? Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. So he went to, why? Because of the grace of God. But you notice, if you go to chapter 24, the disciples went to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus was not there. Verse 6, it says, he is not there. The angel said, he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, and yet in Galilee. So Jesus Christ, on chapter 23, took upon the sins of the whole world. But what happened in chapter 24? Hero! Victorious over sin, death, and grave. Because it was the sin of the whole world, he rose victorious over sin, death, and the grave. So that means I don't have to worry about a prisoner. There's no prisoner I can't tell that Jesus Christ can set him free. Why? Because on chapter 24, Jesus rose victorious over sin, death, and the grave. There's no addict. It doesn't matter what kind of addiction they have or how bad their life is, that Jesus Christ can't set free. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose victorious over sin, death, and grave. Somebody asked me, they said, Brother Crossman, how can you identify with some of these guys with alcohol and drugs when you've never taken alcohol and drugs? I said, I can identify through the Lord Jesus Christ who suffered for the alcohol and drugs on the cross of Calvary. See, it's through the cross. And see, it's the resurrection power that I want to see in their life. And resurrection power will change lives. Because if you're saved and born again, it's changed your life. And see, what we want to do is we want to get these people in the Word of God. And get them reading the Word of God every day. And the Word of God will change their life. And look at the story of Gideon. And I'm just closing up. And look at the story of Gideon. Gideon was facing a mighty army. And as he's facing that mighty army, he thought, Judges chapter 7, he thought, I needed a whole lot of people. And he had a whole lot of people. But what did God say? God says, you got too many. So God brought it down to 300 people. So he's got this little army against a mighty army. Why? Because that's the way God works. See, the greater we think we are, the stronger we think we are as Christians, the less God can do with us. Isaiah chapter 40 talks about when we're weak, he's strong. And more I realize, hey, it's not about me. It's about him. It's about God working through me. It's about God using me. And just as we look at this thing, I look at this right now and I look at, you know, all the addiction program and, you know, this fellow that just got out of prison. He was with me yesterday. We're driving around. No, it wasn't yesterday. It was Friday. We're driving around the town, Prince Albert. And it seemed like it was Canada. And everywhere we looked, man, there's these drunkards walking around all over the place. He said, man, he said, I don't know if I just didn't see it before, but man, he said, there's all kinds of drunks around here. But see, the need is great. Because the devil has a lot of people enslaved. But see, God's power is great too. And see, God can take and use you and me. God can take and use the church, like Beulah Land Baptist Church, to His honor and to His glory. Why? Because Beulah Land Baptist Church is a great church? No. Because God wants to be glorified, that He can set people free. See, and you look in, let me give you a couple of illustrations, biblical illustrations. Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? Because there was an immoral woman. There was a woman who had a sexual addiction in Samaria. And God took, when Jesus Christ went to Samaria, and what happened? A whole lot of folks got saved. Why? Because that one woman got saved. And see, that's why the devil fights so much, the drunkard getting saved, the alcoholic, the gambler, or somebody that's in bondage to addiction. Because when they get saved, you know what happens? There's a big testimony of the power of God. How God can change people's life. Yes, they don't want to get saved. They can get angry, you know. But God can, His mercy and grace can save people if they'll look to Him. You look at the maniac of Gadara, and I'm going to close with him. Jesus got off the boat, and the maniac met him. He was a man possessed of demons. If there's any picture of people with addictions, it's the demon. It's the maniac of Gadara. Because he's totally controlled by the devil. People were in drug addiction and all these things. What happens? They're totally controlled. They don't know what they did when they were drunk or what they did when they were on the drugs. Why? Because they're controlled. But what happened? He met Jesus. And before he left, what happened? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. God had changed his life. And then he wanted to go with Jesus, but what did Jesus say? Go back to the town where you came from. He went back to that town. What happened? That town was changed. Why? Because this crazy man that nobody wanted to have anything to do with met Jesus. And if we can just point people to Jesus, Jesus can change their lives. Jesus can set them free. Jesus can set the drunkard free. Jesus can set the alcoholic free. Jesus can set anybody free. Why? Because of the power of the resurrection. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm going to pray and ask the pastor to come. Dear Father in heaven, dear Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the truth that will set us free. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that's not saved, I pray they might be saved. And Lord, if there's any folks here, Lord, and we all know relatives, friends, know people that have problems with addictions, I pray we pray for them. And Lord, somehow we seek to communicate to them the gospel that Jesus Christ can set them free. In Jesus' name, amen.
All stand with me and we'll turn to number 204 and we'll sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 204. Face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Crossman. It is good to know of what the Lord's doing in Prince Albert, and it's some that we recognize too. As we pray for them, we recognize there's a lot of people around us in Kindersley here that are struggling with addictions, and so we want to just kind of have our eyes open to their needs and just pray the Lord can use us and give us opportunity to reach out to them and help them as well, and so that they can turn their eyes to Jesus as well. Amen. So as we close, Brother Paul, can you dismiss us in prayer, please?